2 weeks ago, I talked on the topic of about casting all your burdens, and that poster we got outside, that Matthew 11:28, cast all your burdens. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's that one. And that's what we're called to do, to give our burdens to the Lord. But it's not as easy as it sounds, because we are human. We don't give up things that quite as easy. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And Jesus very, very clearly tells us in Matthew 6, Luke 12, don't worry. Now, I don't know about you. As soon as somebody says to me, don't worry, it makes me worried. Right? Why? What have we got to worry about? It's like reverse psychology almost. But the key, I think, is in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, all these things are basically our daily requirements, what we need, right? All the things that we need. But it's not easy to do. It sounds easy. Don't worry. Jesus has already done the job. We know that. He's victorious. We've been singing about that. We've praised the name of the Lord our God. But it's not easy to actually absorb it. It's easy to do it in here, but it's not so easy to absorb it into our hearts and so on. Especially when you get situations that are totally against you. And you've all been through, going through, will go through, situations that are not pleasant. Right? In the Bible study on Wednesdays, we've been looking at some of the Psalms. And the situations there where it describes some of the things that it feels like you're being totally overwhelmed by things that are happening around you. Everything's collapsing, and when you've had enough, you can't continue, you're fed up, and you want to throw it all away. Right? And we've all been there, right? But we've got to hang on. In Psalm 69, it describes how the psalmist, David, King David, was up to his neck here in water. The waters are up to my neck, and he's sinking in the miry depths. The floods engulf me, and it's not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. But emotionally, we feel like that. We may not actually be in the water, right? But we feel like it. Right? And Psalm 40 continues, and David again here, he says, he, God, lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock. Now, if you've got solid ground that's not going to let you slip any further, then you've got that hope. Right? And that solid rock, we know, is Jesus. Jesus is that solid rock. And we've just got to trust in the Lord. How do we do that? Not easy. We've got to look at his promises, see beyond the situation. We've got to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the Bible tells us. Walk by faith, or live by faith, not by sight. We've got to put all that behind us and carry on. And it's that faith that is so, so important. But it's not easy, but it will get us through the hard times. In 1 Corinthians 13, that lovely passage about love, at the end of it, it says, these three will remain, faith, hope, and love. Everything else will pass away, but these three things will remain. And if we persist, they will see us through even the darkest time. Faith, hope, and love. Because essentially, what we've been singing about this morning is Christ has come. He's done his bit. He came to set us free. Now, what I'd like to look at is just a couple of scriptures that will hopefully encourage you. The first one's in Galatians 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again. I've underlined again, because it does happen again and again. And sometimes you think, why is it happening again? But it will. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then in John 10:10, it talks about the devil. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do in all our lives. And when we've got difficult situations, it does destroy our joy, our hopes. All of these get destroyed. But Jesus then said straight away, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Right? It's not just eternal life, it's life now to the full. There is a promise there. We've been freed, we've had our burdens lifted, we've been released. But there are still things that hold us down. He's come to release us from all those. He's come to give us abundant life. And that's our hope. Abundant life, eternal life. That's our faith. That's what our faith's all about. That faith we have in Jesus. So we have been freed, but there's still things that shackle us. Yeah? Our day-to-day, what ties you down, what ties me down? Situations, when something goes wrong. Right? It really drags you down. Our circumstances, our busyness. By that I mean we run around like headless chickens sometimes, doing things here, there and everywhere. And that just takes all the time, takes all our joy away. When we get stuck into doing routines, even religion can be a routine. We've got to be very, very careful of that. Because the Pharisees themselves, they taught the law, they taught tradition, they taught religion, and they put people under a tremendous burden. Right? Jesus says that they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. Right? When he's talking about the seven woes of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But as soon as we take on all that ourselves, we realise that actually we are sinful people. Right? And we know the wages of sin is death. And that drags you down again. Drags you down again. But that's if we live under that law, if we live under that, if we try and do things in our own strength, it doesn't work. Right? We can't do it. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But the encouragement in that one verse, the wages of sin is death, in Romans 6:23, is it doesn't end like that. It carries on. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's what lifts us up. First one brings us down, but that lifts us up. And it's that Spirit of God, that Spirit of sonship, as it says in Romans 8, that Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that now sets us free from the law, sets us free from sin and death. That burden has gone. That burden's gone. Right? And Romans 8:1, there's that lovely line. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned. We're not judged. Right? For those in Christ, we are free. We are free. Now, we know this. Right? And that's... as I was preparing this, I remembered a sermon that Val Stroud did about a year and a half ago. And the title of that was Choose Life. Choose Life. We have to make a choice. Right? It's all about choice. We choose. We have to choose to let those burdens be lifted. Jesus said, I'll take them. We've got to choose to let them go. We have to choose life. Because otherwise, your life will not be as God wants it to be. Right? And we know all this. We know it in our minds. We know it in our intellect. But do we believe it? Do we act like it's true? I know sometimes I'm so busy, so anxious, so worried, tied up. I try and be relaxed. But sometimes that's on the outside. And I think most of you are a bit like that. You can be relaxed. But underneath, there's lots of things going on. And it's like the classic swan, isn't it? Looks lovely and serene. But then underneath, when you see its legs, it's kicking away like crazy under there. So it's busy all the time. But it's awkward, especially if you see a situation that you've been praying into it, you've been reading your Bible, you've been worshipping, but it hasn't changed. It's even got worse. And you think, oh God, are you really listening to me? Do you want me to come out of this situation? The answer is yes. Right? The answer is quite simply. When bad things happen, it's easy to lose heart and lose faith. And then I get drawn back to one scripture. That's Romans 14:17. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Now, it doesn't just mean eating and drinking. It's the daily mundane things that we have in our life. It's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of what am I going to wear? What's the car doing? What's this done? They're just there. They're things that we cope with. But they're not that important. The main thing for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Eating and drinking, daily needs, not a problem. They're the requirements, our jobs, our business, or whatever. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's seeking first the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus called us to do. And we've got to try and replace, and it's not easy, and so I believe it or not, I'm trying to encourage it. You've got to replace worry with peace and joy. Now, we can say, be peaceful, be joyful. It doesn't happen like that. There's no magic switch that turns you from being worried into a joyful person. Well, there actually is, but it's not that instant. It's not that instant. We'll come on to that in a moment. If you've got your Bibles, if you turn with me to John, I'm going to look at three scriptures, all about joy. And these are three scriptures that Jesus said. First one's in John 15:11. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And he said to them, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, what he'd actually told them was three things, basically. He said, one, remain in my love. Jesus loves us. We know that. He went to the cross. He died. He laid down his life for us, for you, for me. He did that. He loves us more than we can imagine. We try to imagine, but we can't imagine that. Remain in my love. Then, fairly simple, obey my commands. Do what I say. If I say do this, just do it. Quite simple. And then the other thing, love each other. He just simplified it so much. Remain in my love, obey my commands, love each other. And your joy may be complete. That's the promise. That's the promise he gives. John 17, verse 13. He's praying for his disciples. And he's speaking to Father God. And he says, I'm coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, his disciples, may have the full measure of my joy within them. Jesus wants us to be joyful. He wants his joy to be ours. And then John 16:24 says, until now you've not asked for anything, right, in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now, those three scriptures, very, very clear. Jesus wants us to live a life full of joy. Now, how joyful are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Are you a 4, 5, middling? Are you a 9, 10? It varies from day to day. I don't know about you. Some days I wake up and I'm about minus 1. Some days I wake up and I'm 1 to 2. Some days I'm 7, 8. Do I ever hit the 10? When I'm worshipping God, when I'm reading the scriptures, that's when I hit the 10. That's when I know. Today when we were singing, I got tears running down my face. And nearly have now. And it's just knowing that the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. And you know that this word is true. This word is true. So accept that joy. Accept that joy. So wake up and be an 11 out of 10. Okay? Just jump up and say, yes, God. Yes, God. But it's not easy. We get stopped. Huh? We get stopped. God wants us to replace worry with joy and peace, but in our day-to-day business, we get tied up and we get stopped. There's lots of things. Our routine, our daily routine can upset us. Big thing, have we got a hard heart? If our heart, the attitude of our heart is not open, it will stop us receiving that joy. Can we be too critical of ourselves or too critical of other people? I'm just summarising all this here. We've all got a ministry. As soon as you believe in Jesus, you are a minister. You are a minister, and you've got a ministry wherever you go. You are a witness, you're an ambassador, you're a minister of reconciliation. You are there, you're a witness. But sometimes we don't have the mercy and love that we've got to welcome all people. Doesn't matter who they are, right? We've all sinned, we've all fallen short, and we've got to have that same attitude. We've got to welcome everybody and be ministers. And we need to be tolerant of people. Doesn't mean we need to be tolerant of their behaviour. There's the church in general, there's a lot of tolerance creeping in, and things that are not scriptural that they're accepting within churches. We're not called to do that, but we're called to be tolerant of people. Right? There's a difference between condoning something and condemning it. We don't condemn, but we don't have to condone behaviour. So there's a ground there. What else stops us receiving joy? Me. Being proud, being boastful, being this. So we've got to get rid of that. We've got to have the right motive. In Matthew 6, Jesus was talking about when you pray, pray like this. Don't do it this way. When you fast, do it so that people don't know. Right? Don't do it for show. Right? When you give on the quiet. Don't make a show of it. Don't say, well, look at me, aren't I flash? I'm putting X of pounds into this box here for these. I'm really, really good. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We've got to give with the right motive, the right heart. And don't be suspicious of things. I don't know about you. Sometimes if something's said to me, I say, well, what's that all about then? Why is that? What are they doing that for? Right? Sometimes I'm far too suspicious of people's motives. I've got to get over that, right? And stop overreacting to people. And perhaps one of the big things is we've got to be actually willing to change. Because it's quite easy to think, oh, we've done it like this, I want to do it like this, I'm comfortable. A big problem in this part of the world where we live, Western Europe, USA, we're very comfortable. It's nice, we don't want to change, it's a nice life, it's okay. But if we get stuck in that rut, we're not going to get that joy. We're not going to receive it. We're not going to receive it. And the devil's quite happy for us to poddle along, keep going, doing things, but actually not building the kingdom. We need to build that kingdom. He's quite happy. He's quite happy. We might look good, but it's a bit like that parable, the weeds amongst the grain. There's some weeds. We've got to be careful not to be a weed. I don't know about you. I want to be a nice, healthy stalk of wheat or barley or whatever. I don't want to be a weed, right? But the weeds get there, and the weeds choke us. They stop us, right? One of the big weeds is, what do we look like? What do I look like? What do other people think of me? What do other people think of our church? God's not bothered about what we look like. He's only concerned about this in here. He's concerned with the attitude of our heart, not what we look like. Yeah? Sometimes we condemn ourselves. There's a lot of people here, I know full well, and I include myself in it, you think, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm a failure. I haven't got any self-confidence. No. But we've got somebody mighty, praise the name of the Lord our God, who doesn't care about that. His mercy is enough for us. His grace is sufficient. It's not what we do, right? And I know I'm not good enough. But Jesus was and is above that. And it's Jesus' love that sets me above that. He lifts my head out of the waters. He rescues me from the pit. Jesus has done that job already. And that makes me happy. That brings joy back into me. It makes the hairs on the back of my neck tingle again. Instead of being down in the dumps, it lifts me up out of the miry pit, as it says. And the other thing, rules, regulations. Do this, don't do that. Don't get stuck in that. It's good to have rules. We've got to have order. We've got to have no chaos. But if the rules become more important, we do it like this. Because if you don't, you'll end up failing. Right? And then you think, oh, actually, I've failed. No, get rid of rules, regulations. But probably the biggest thing, I think, that drags us down is, oh, I haven't tried hard enough. I haven't done it properly. I've got to try hard. And this, in our brains, it ticks in that if I work hard enough, God's going to like me. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Our righteousness comes through Jesus alone. That's all. Nothing else. Okay? Through his Holy Spirit. It's not by what we do. Right? I'm not saying don't do things. By all means, please do. But instead of trying harder, trying to earn our salvation, just submit and surrender and allow Christ's character to develop in us. Jesus criticised the Pharisees. He said to them, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. We can't let our circumstances rob us of what Scripture is lifting us to. Does that make sense? That's not in my notes. We can't let our circumstances rob us of the promises in Scriptures. And if we do, it nullifies the word of God. It nullifies the word of God. And we don't get any joy. We got what I read about is called spiritual bankruptcy, which sounds quite a big word, but it means you've lost all your joy. You've lost all your joy. And as a result, we get no joy because we're constantly seeking to do things. Right? Nothing wrong with doing things, that's great, but we will not get grace and salvation by what we do. It doesn't bring us joy. We do lots of works of righteousness, which is fantastic, but then we forget the main thing. What about Jesus? What about God? That's the main thing. Seek first the kingdom, then we'll get our joy back. Sometimes we come here on a Sunday, and when the worship's going, when we hear the word, we think, yeah, great, but during the week, do you lose that joy? Does it come away? Does it ebb off? And perhaps worst thing is sometimes we lose joy when we think, God's waiting, he's looking at me if I go wrong. He's waiting to pounce on me. God's not like that. He knows we're going to mess up, don't worry. Right? He's not waiting for you to make a mistake, right? Because he's overridden all of that through what Jesus has done. We need to protect ourselves and stay safe. Right? When Jesus was tempted by the devil, when he was after his baptism and he went out into the wilderness, the devil tempted him. He tried to turn him around. And his protection was quite simple. He said, it is written. He went back to Scripture. It is written, he said. And when the devil said, turn these stones into bread, And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And then when he said, throw yourself off here, the angels will stop you. And he says, no, it is written, you shall not test the Lord your God. And then when he said, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me, he says, no, it is written, you worship only the Lord your God. He came back with scripture every time. And I think that's the basis of keeping ourselves together, keeping this spiritual bankruptcy away, the word of God. Put the Lord first, right? Trust in the character of God and his word, right? Put him first. Direct your worship, right, to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Make him the priority. Not people, not your circumstances, not routine, not traditions, not your hobbies, not your job, not your social life. Worship daily. Daily priority. How many of you sing every day? Just put your hands up. Brilliant. Good. Yeah. Some days don't. Yeah. But I know full well, if I do sing, if I do put music on, worship, it just lifts me straight away. Right? And I've mentioned it before, but I end up dancing around the house instead of doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but stuff that. Yeah. That gets done anyway. It's surprising. So put God first, right? Leslie's disagreeing with that, I know that. It stirs up passion for God, and that's what we want. Passion in us, and it stirs up love, and it stirs up joy. And that's what these worship songs we've been singing, the old ones, the new ones, they all are fantastic. Put it into practice. And we've got to love each other. Love each other. Romans 12, 9 to 12, it says, love must be sincere. Right? Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Do you lack zeal? It's a word we don't use very often. Enthusiasm. Do you lack enthusiasm? I run out of zeal sometimes about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think, oh, I'm tired. But if you praise and worship, it comes back. It really does come back. Keep your spiritual fervour, it says. That's the antidote to spiritual bankruptcy. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Because we all get afflictions, I'm afraid. We get problems. But they are surmountable. We can conquer them because Jesus has done it already. And be faithful in prayer. Right. That's the first thing. We need to put the Lord first always. Second thing we can do is get rid of us. Die daily. Right? Die daily. I don't mean literally, but it's a choose to die to self. Yeah, because we talk about my ways, my plans, my emotions, my desires. We've got to allow Christ to resurrect us, lift us up again. Lift us up. So we choose his ways, his plans, his will, his desires. They become paramount. And surprise, surprise, yours will be matched as well. That's what it says. The word tells us. All these things will be given unto you as well. And we've got to protect ourselves. There's a lot of things that will drag us down. Tradition, habit, business, proving our worth. And the only thing that will end there is we get bitter, we can get angry, anxious, we feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel condemned. And it's not a nice place to be. But we can actually put on, the Bible talks about armour, putting on armour or putting on clothes. And we can protect ourselves. And there's lots of things. One of my favourite ones is Jesus has always got something better for us. And in Romans 13, 14, he says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you just imagine wrapping yourself in Jesus and just what that does to you? You try being sad when you know you're wrapped up in Jesus. You can't. It just brings you joy, right? Colossians 3, 10 says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Creator is Jesus. Isaiah 61, 3 talks about a garment of praise, which is what I've sort of been talking about, really. You put on that garment of praise. When you feel down, put on that garment of praise. It brings you out instead of a spirit of despair, because we that pit of despair we can get into. Colossians 3, 12 to 14, it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. How often do we bear with each other, or do we just get annoyed? Yeah. Sometimes we just have to literally turn the other cheek. So bear with each other, okay? But bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Right. If we don't forgive, he won't forgive. Right. We've got to have forgiveness. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. It's like putting on armour. Romans 13:12 talks about the armour of light, living in the light, be an armour of light. And then the famous one, obviously, is Ephesians 6, where it talks about all that list of things that we need to protect ourselves with. The belt of truth, the full armour of God, it's called. The belt of truth, constantly in truth. Breastplate of righteousness, which protects our heart and our core. The sandals fitted with the gospel of peace. Wherever you go, take the gospel with you. Take it with you. Right? Shield of faith protects us from the enemy's darts. Helmet of salvation, right? Protect your mind. We're saved. Don't let the world interfere with your mind. Right? It brings you down. Keep your helmet of salvation. And then we can fight back, right? With the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. That's what Jesus did to the devil. He counteracted with scriptures. He fought them back. And that belt of truth is crucial. We've got to walk in the truth. We've got to walk in the truth. Walk in the word of God. If you know the word of God, the more you know, the more you know God's character. Right? He's awesome. He's an awesome God. In fact, on the September program, I just couldn't get around that word awesome. So I've written it about 5 times, so apologies for that. But it says, God is awesome. God is awesome. Because he is. He is awesome. And the more we know his character, the more awesome we really realise he is and believe he is. But we've got to walk in truth, speak in truth, believe in the truth. Now, going back to what I was saying, God wants us to have a full life, an abundant life, life in abundance, and also the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to live in misery, he doesn't want us to live in fear, he doesn't want us to be in depression, he doesn't want us to be fixed in religions and traditions, being busy and non-stop work. He wants to equip us with joy. I can't see many smiling faces at the moment. Can you give me a big smile? Yeah, bigger. Show me all your teeth. That's right. He wants to equip us with joy, right? And that joy of salvation. Do you remember that first day you gave your heart to the Lord? That immediate joy, right? And the psalmist again, David says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Okay. And it's a relatively simple recipe. God doesn't want us to do anything complicated, right? He's above and beyond. He's done it already. He's done. All he wants us to do, we need to honour God, right? More than people, more than traditions, more than routines, more than business. Just honour God, okay? Fear God, not in a bad way. Right? That word awesome, it sums it up, really. God is marvellous. Revere him, okay? Respect him. Don't be frightened of him. Don't think, oh, he's going to pounce on me. That's not the God that loves us that so much that he gave us his one and only son. He loves us, but we've got to respect him and fear God in that way. And stay in his presence. How do we stay in his presence? Through word, through worship, through prayer. Flood yourself in it. It really does make a difference, okay? And then you say, oh, I haven't got time. But we do. We do. And you'll find that if you do flood yourself, suddenly the things that were taking up your time aren't that important anyway. Right? Other things take priority. Search the will of God. Now, I don't know about you. God, what is your will? I often ask that. What's your will in this situation, God? And I want to hear a voice come right in here like a loudspeaker say, Stuart, do this. It doesn't happen. But then I read this, and then I think, actually, that's your will, God. That's your will. And what he says, a simple one just for us, what's the will of God for you, for me, for us, is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. It says, be joyful always, right? Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then there's a little addition, it says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. And so we need to carry out God's instructions. We know to obey his commands, obey Jesus' instructions. And as he said, if you love me, you obey my commands. Okay? Keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. So that joy of the Lord is available for all of us, even in the real difficult situations. If you've been through a bad time, going through a bad time, if you're not, praise the Lord. But if you are, praise the Lord. Go through it. That will bring you through. It will bring you through the bad as well as the good. Now, joy is not happiness, right? Happiness is a sort of a human thing. It's fleeting. We have happy times, you have sad. But joy is much deeper. It goes lots further than that. Joy is deep into your heart, into your core. You know that God is on your side. And that brings joy up onto you. And it gets you through all the bad times. Gets you through all those bad times. And it's infectious. It really is infectious. Joy, I've heard it described as a supernatural weapon. Right? A supernatural weapon. It attracts people. And it's what we have, or what we can have as Christians. And it's what the world searches for. They're searching for joy. How many people in the world are doing this experience, that experience, taking substances to take them out of this situation, to put them into... It comes through God, comes through Jesus. That joy, that supernatural joy that only comes, and it draws people closer to Jesus. Now, in closing, I just want to get this image into your head. The Bible describes the church as a bride. Right? We are the bride of Christ. Right? Christ is the bridegroom, we are the bride. We are currently preparing for a wedding. Right? You may not think so at the moment, but we are. We're getting ready for a wedding. Not us personally, unless some of the girls know something I don't know. Right? But there's a marriage coming, and it's between the church and Christ. And that marriage is going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be joyful. It's going to be a celebration at the marriage, but also in the preparation time. So now, that joy is there now, right? Because Christ is preparing his bride. We are being prepared now. And the spirit of the bride and the bridegroom is joy. It's joy. Pure joy. Right? And I was trying to think about this. 28 years ago, sorry, she's nodding, that's right, 28 years ago, when we got married, the day before, apart from being frightened, nervous, above and beyond all that was this joy. I'd found the love of my life, I'll embarrass her now, right? And I was just so happy. So joyful, that it didn't matter what anybody did, they couldn't take away that joy. It was wonderful. But God wants us that all the time, that joy. We're going to be with Jesus, right? We're going to be with Jesus, right? Yeah, transfixed by his gaze, it says when we're singing. And how can you not, therefore, come to the throne of God with joy? Be joyful, singing hymns, singing praises with thanksgiving, making a joyful sound, which we'll do in a little while. And so, be joyful. I'd just like to close with a prayer, but I'm actually going to pray two scriptures over us. So you'd just like to bow your heads with me. The first scripture comes from Romans 15:13. And it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. That's the first one. The other one comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. 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 Amen.